Once again, it's great to see you this morning. Thank you very much for singing out, for being here, for being willing to open up now and study the Word of God with me together. I am excited about being able to share with you some words, I believe, that will help us all. But before we do that, I do want to bring up someone who is technically not with us the first time. She was here Wednesday night, but I said that we would wait till Sunday morning to bring her up. And so I'm going to get Austin to bring up his baby girl, Molly Dodich. And it's not a baby doll. That is a real baby, okay? Oh, my. Look at her. Jason Smith is jealous of that hair. I can guarantee you that right now. She is a doll. Congratulations to Maya, to Austin, and to Levi. Are you the big brother? Okay, yeah. He's like, I want to come up here. All right, Dad. Congratulations, man. She is a precious little angel. Got her. Sweet, sweet. We're so thankful to have mamas and daddies, right, bringing their babies to church, bringing their babies to worship. I'm thankful that my mom and my dad did that for me to be able to bring my children. And so the chain keeps going, and I am thankful that in opportunities like we have today, we've had Bible study together, we've had a portion of our worship service together. And my prayer is that through all of that, our faith is growing. My prayer is that when we leave here, as Kent prayed, we're only a phone call away from a bad day, right? We're only a phone call away from bad news. We're thankful that God has led us to great things, but when that phone call comes, when that news comes, when that opportunity comes to struggle, to hurt, my prayer is that our faith will carry us through. In Luke chapter 24, in verse 36, we have these words. Now as they said these things, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." Now, that is a verse that Luke records there after the resurrection of Jesus coming back to His disciples. He stood in the middle of them. They're all concerned. Remember now, they had scattered. They had traveled all kinds of places. They had gone into hiding, and Jesus stood in the middle of them, and the three words that He said were, "Peace to you." They were scared. Their faith wasn't probably where it needed to be just yet. In fact, He had reminded them time and time again, "O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you have no faith?" He had said that time and time again. But on this occasion, He reminded them, "I didn't come to bring war. I came to bring peace." The devil, however, wants us to believe today that God is about war. You see, there are a lot of people today that struggle with the reality of suffering. They struggle with those phone calls. They struggle that when I get bad news. They struggle when my health goes bad. They struggle because they think God should not bring suffering. God should not bring death. Well, guess what? He didn't. He didn't bring any of that. Because James reminds us in the Bible, in the book of James, that all good, all perfect gifts come from above. Remember, death entered this world, sin entered this world through Adam, through Satan. But Satan wants to twist that, doesn't he? He wants you to believe, and so many have fallen guilty of this. He wants people to believe that God is not the God of peace, He is the God of war. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ, the resurrected God in the flesh, stood in the middle of His disciples and He said, "I'm bringing you peace." In your life today, God is trying to bring you peace. He's trying to bring you calmness. He's trying to remind you that He is the one who has overcome this world. In reality, it's the devil who's wanting to devour us. Remember, Peter reminded us that he is a roaring lion lying in wait to devour whoever comes in his path. Satan is the one who wants us confused. Satan is the one who wants us doubting. Satan is the one who wants us to live in fear. Jesus wants us to have peace. Jesus wants us to have joy. Jesus wants us to have life and to have it more abundantly. Today, what I want us to do, you may have come into this room believing. And I hope that you have. In fact, I'm pretty confident that everybody in this room believes. They believe God, they believe Jesus, and they believe that God wants peace for our lives. But there are certain times when we need help with our unbelief. There are certain times when we need our faith strengthened. There are certain times when no matter how strong we think we are, and by the way, I'm not just telling you this, I'm preaching to me. No matter how many times we know how strong our faith may be, it gets put to the test. It gets put to the fire, and doubt can certainly enter. So today, if we're going to move forward, we got to get the doubt out, right? We've got to get rid of it. We've got to get rid of the lack of faith. We've got to get rid of the doubt. We've got to get rid of the war in our lives, so that we can make room for Jesus Christ, He's the peace that passes all understanding. So how do we do it? I'm going to give you three ways today. Number one, when it comes to doubt, we need to be plain about it. Really, the word I want to use there is honest. But plain goes with the other P's that I have, okay? So, just go with me on that. We got to be honest. We got to be plain about it. When it comes to doubt, we must admit there is a problem. We must admit I haven't studied my Bible like I should. I haven't had a prayer life like I should. I haven't believed that God was going to hear my prayers and answer them like I should. I haven't worshiped like I should. You know, if I've got all kinds of health issues, right? If I've got diabetes, if I've got some kind of other heart condition, if I've got something else going on in my life, if I'm struggling internally with my organs, with my health, then taking a vitamin every day is not going to help me, right? But sometimes we think 1 hour a week, really, we're more than an hour here, hour and a half, 2 hours a week, that we're in worship or fellowship together, right here on Sunday morning, we think that's enough. Forget Sunday school, forget Wednesday night, forget all these things. But you know what happens when we start not attending those things, and when we don't attend those things, we come up with doubt, we come up with excuses. We start making excuses, you know, well, my children this, my children that, and listen, I know there's some legit things. I've had children too. Fortunately, my children, no matter what, there's always been a way to make it to Sunday school. I'm sure there were times when they were babies when they had fevers and we kept them home, etc. I say we, Michelle. But at the end of the day, my children's been to a lot of Sunday school classes. They've been to a lot of Wednesday nights. Even, hey, well, my children have sports. Listen, even though we go to Mobile Christian, I know what time they left at 5:40-something last Wednesday. I'm just saying, folks, we can all come up with excuses. We can all, but the problem is we got to be honest about it. If I've got a doubt problem today, if I've got a lack of faith problem today, I need to be plain about it. I need to be honest. I need to confront the problem. Unbelief and doubt are not the same thing. Doubt's not the opposite of faith. Unbelief is. Unbelief occurs, however, when doubt is not properly dealt with. You see, when I start doubting God, I still believe in Him. But there comes a point in time when the first cousin of unbelief, doubt, starts giving in to unbelief. And that's when my faith is really at its lowest point. Somebody once wrote this, and I thought it was pretty good. There is much honest doubt that should be encouraged. So not all doubt would be bad, right? Listen, someone said there's much honest doubt that should be encouraged. History, for instance, is literally patched together by doubt. There could be no progress without it. Galileo doubted that the earth stood still. Copernicus doubted that the earth was the center of the universe. Columbus doubted that the earth was flat. Newton doubted that nature was erratic. And Einstein doubted that the earth was fixed. You see, their doubt led them to discoveries. Your doubt today, if you're playing about it, may lead you to a stronger faith. It may lead you to a relationship with God through Jesus Christ that will blow your mind because you never thought it possible. Turn now to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. This is our text of the day, beginning in verse 14. And when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them, and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy. And he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe. Help my unbelief." Now, as we pause there, we're reminded that we can have all the faith in the world, but when it comes to a sick child, when it comes to a child who's hurting, when it comes to a child who is struggling, when it comes to a child that we care about, that we love, and we can't do anything to make this child better, it was literally out of this father's hands. Can you imagine? Can you as a father, can you as a mother, can you as someone who has cared for children, if you've been to that point, can you imagine yourself in that situation for a moment? I could beat this father up, couldn't you? But in reality, I could probably relate a lot to him. You think about what you care about the most, You think about what you are struggling with the most or what you love the most, and if something were to happen to it, it would make you struggle with it the most. Oh, you might believe, but at the time, you don't know. When you watch your son go into a fire and he can't control himself because he is possessed, got to think back to these times now. Or he is near water and he falls in that water because he is possessed, and you got to jump in and save him, or you got to go in the fire and save him. Maybe he had some burns on his wrist. Maybe he had some burns on his hands where he's tried to go into that fire and save him, and he would love to just say, "Put that demon in me." But he couldn't do anything about it. But the one who he knew could do something about it, Jesus Christ, was there. He had gone to the disciples, and the disciples were, "We can't do it." Now Jesus is mad at them. He's mad at their unbelief. He's fed up with it. But finally he gets to Jesus Christ and he says, "Please, if you can have compassion, please help my son." And Jesus says, "If you believe, he can be cured." Can't you imagine how that father felt? "Oh, Jesus, I believe. I believe. But then there's part of me that doesn't. Because I've watched my son go into this fire. I've watched him convulse. I've watched him foam at the mouth. I've watched him get so stiff on the ground and he can't do anything and he can't move and he can't control himself. I've watched him almost drown in water. I've jumped in and getting him. I believe you can do it, but I doubt it at the same time. Help my unbelief." The father was honest. He needed help with his faith. And he expressed it to Jesus Christ. Faltering in our faith, listen to me, folks. Faltering in our faith is a better place to be than faking our faith. We must admit today, if we have a doubt problem, if we have an unbelief problem, we must admit today that we have that problem. We need to give room to God, who will provide us the strength we need. Jesus did not say to the Father, "Get some more faith and then come back later." Aren't you thankful for that today? Jesus Christ, who is here today to cast Satan out of you, to cast Satan out of me. Once again, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. If there was a man whipping that boy's, that father's son, he could have whipped that man, right? If somebody was messing with that father's child and he was throwing him in fire and he was throwing him in water, that man, with the gumption he had to help his son, could have got somebody off his, a physical person off his son. But we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against powers and principalities. And God is above all that. He's overcome all that. God didn't say today, as He's trying to cast sin out of your life, cast Satan out of your life, He didn't say today, "Oh, today's not a good day, go get some more faith." That's not what He said. He said, "Just believe." He healed that man's son. He provided what was needed to heal the boy. At the same time, He provided what was needed to strengthen the father's faith. We cannot bottle up our doubt. Today we need to open it up. We need to let it out. We need to allow God in so that He can give us strength. If you have a problem with doubt, you need to admit it right now so that God can go to work. But secondly, this morning, when it comes to doubt, we should press through it. The father did not let his unbelief and his doubt stop him, did he? You know, he was in a desperate situation. He really was. He had gone to the ones he thought could cast out the demon, and they couldn't do it. So he finally gets to Jesus Christ. Even though he had reservations about it, even though he had some doubt about it, guess what? He still pressed forward. He wanted his son healed of this possession. He was plain. He was honest about it. Now he's pressing through it. We must be the same way. We must be honest. Yes, I have a problem with doubt today. I haven't been what I need to be. I haven't studied like I need to study. I haven't attended like I need to attend. I haven't worshiped like I needed to worship. I haven't taken up my cross every day and followed Him. And I'm honest about it today. If you're not honest with the person in the mirror, you'll never get cured. So we're honest about it, right? We're letting them but now here we are. What do we do with that honesty? Well, we got to press through it. Because Satan's going to put a wall up. He's going to tell you a million different reasons why you shouldn't walk this aisle. He's going to tell you a million different reasons why you shouldn't get right before God today. He's going to put up obstacles. He's going to put up everything. He's going to say this. He's going to say that. You and I have got to bust through that wall. We've got to press through it. You see, what happens when we don't do that, when trouble comes and these roads of doubts and hills of doubt along the way get to us, we bog down. Some, in fact, quit. They just quit. I don't know what else to do, so I just quit God. Job, remember him? Old Testament? He struggled, didn't he? He struggled with his sickness. He struggled with pain. Listen, I've been sick before. I've been in pain before. But not to the point that I took an old piece of pottery and scraped on my skin. I have never been in that kind of pain. I've never been in that kind of torture. Job was. He had lost all of his family except for his wife, who was a discouragement to him, not an encouragement. He had lost all his livelihood. He had lost his health. He had these painful boils all over his body. And he is so miserable. He is taking pottery, broken pottery, and scraping at his skin. He even at times questioned the importance of him even being born. In all of this, he looked for answers, but he held on to the faith that he had. Job received enough answers to get him through the trial. He had enough moments of help that he could get through it. But he didn't have all the answers to all the questions. You know what he did? He did what Joseph led us in. He just clung to God's unchanging hand. I don't know what your Golgotha is today. I don't know what your Gethsemane is. I don't know what you're going through right now. Do I know you? Yes. Do I know all of you? No. Do I know some of you better than I know others? Absolutely. But you don't know my Gethsemane. You don't know my Golgotha. Now, my Gethsemane and my Golgotha is pales in comparison to Jesus Christ. But it's mine, right? And it's yours. I don't know what's causing you to scrape today or be miserable today. But I can guarantee you this, God does. And if you're honest about your doubt and you're crying out, I believe, but help my unbelief, I'm just asking to take hold of God's unchanging hand. And let's press through that wall together. You see, when life throws uncertainty, when life throws heartache, when life throws moments of trial and doubt, we need to remember God hasn't left His throne. One of the most beautiful scenes to me in all the Bible is that when Stephen is being stoned to death. the bloody scene, right? Stoning somebody to death. They didn't just throw little rocks at people until they knocked them out and killed them. No, they took rocks and they bashed them. It was a stoning. And since this was such a bloody scene, they laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul, who became the Apostle Paul. And he's witnessing all this, and I believe it had an impact on his faith. I believe it had an impact on his life, on his conversion. But at the end of the day, as they are stoning Stephen to death, remember what he has seen. He has gazed up into heaven. Those people are mad at him now. They're biting at him. They're gnashing at him. They are so mad because he told them about Jesus Christ. And now he looks up and he says, you know what? I see the Son of Man standing. Now every time you usually read it, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. But on this occasion, he had gotten off the throne. Now what did he do that for? Did he do it just to say, Stephen, I'm here. I'm an encouragement to you? Maybe so. Did he do it to say, God, you send me back to wipe them all out and I'll do it right now? I don't know. But at the end of the day, right now, Jesus Christ may be standing up for you. He may be standing up for me. No matter how much you've struggled, no matter what you're going through, all we need to remember is that they are still, they being the Godhead, in charge. We need to hold on. We need to press on. And we need to take down these walls of difficulty. But finally this morning, if I'm going to be able to get help with my unbelief, when it comes to doubt, we should be productive with it. Mark chapter 9, 25 through 27. Here's the conclusion of the whole matter. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. Man, it's a beautiful scene. That is such a beautiful scene. By the way, that father couldn't do anything about it. Every time that spirit came over his son and he threw himself into the fire, the father couldn't do anything but get him out of the fire. Every time he threw him into water, he couldn't do anything but get him out of the water. Every time he foamed at the mouth, convulsed and got rigid, all the father could do was sit there and pray and just beg for his son to come out of it. But he could not cast him out. But he remained productive. He kept seeking. He kept searching. He kept tearing down the walls in front of him. Now he got to the group of disciples. These men have been with Jesus Christ and they've done some miraculous things. Please cast my son out. And I imagine they got around and they thought they were going to do it maybe and all, but it didn't happen. Can you imagine the letdown? But he still remained productive. Because he loved his son. Because he wanted his son to be cured. And so then he got to Jesus Christ. And Jesus not only cast him out, but he demanded, you don't go in him anymore. I like to think the Son and the Father spent the rest of their lives proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. I don't know if they did, but I like to believe they did. In John chapter 20, beginning in verse 24. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin. He was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails, that's the scar, right? And place my hand into his side, I will never believe. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, I love Thomas didn't even have to ask. He said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. And put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. This scene, we have doubted Thomas, right? We've called him doubting Thomas our whole lives. But all he was doing was being plain about it. Hey, if I can't see those scars, I won't believe that he's the Lord. They had doors locked. There were walls put up. But it was pressed through because Jesus just showed up in the middle of them. Thomas, you don't even have to say anything. I want you to believe it's me. I want you to know it's me. Feel my scars. Give me your hand. Thomas, my Lord and my God. But as amazing as that story is, and as much as we might be able to relate to it, today you can't put your hands in the scars of Jesus. You can't put your hand in the pierced side. But today, you can open up your heart. You can open up your mind. You can open up your soul. You can open up your all. You can confess the sweet name of Jesus Christ, be immersed into Him, and He can live in all of those parts of you. Today, the devil wants you to be blind. He wants you to stay blind. Thomas touched the side. He looked at the hand. He believed. And he went on to help change the world. Today, don't let doubt destroy your faith. See his side. See the scars. See the cross. Take hold of God's unchanging hand. And let's all leave here turning the world upside down together. If you have a need, won't you come right now? It's together we stand and sing.